Just a quick word from our sponsor before we jump into today's episode. Optimizing your internal processes can often be a huge unlock for streamlining revenue and getting you and your team, if you have one, out of a manual process. If you're looking to reduce costs and headaches in one fell swoop, consider graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. It's the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere, and you cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all of your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. Everything seems to be more expensive these days, so proven ways to cut costs and boost performance at the same time, like NetSuite, are kind of a no-brainer. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/SPI. netsuite.com/SPI. Once again, netsuite.com/SPI. And now a quick word from our sponsor before we start the show. Ready to earn sustainable income while creating the work you're passionate about? Get started with Memberful. Whether you teach online courses, host a podcast, run a blog, or write a newsletter, Memberful has all the tools you need to unlock revenue and deeply connect with your audience through subscription membership. Their platform allows you to easily gate content, communicate with your audience, and tier membership access directly on your own website. Plus, with Memberful, there's no need to change your workflow. They work seamlessly and integrate with the tools you already use, including MailChimp, Discord, Zapier, ConvertKit, Google Analytics, and more. Utilize their powerful built-in features and dashboards and watch your business grow. The best part? Memberful gives you full control and ownership of your audience, your brand, and your business. Get started for free at memberful.com/SPI. One more time, that's memberful.com/SPI. So as we all know, podcasting has sort of taken over the world recently, and I've obviously been a big fan of it for a while now, having since launched a podcast 10 years ago, over a decade ago, which is pretty crazy. But it's interesting because only within the past year have we seen a ton of activity, especially in the software space, in terms of solutions and companies spending loads of money, creating new startups, and all these really fun, amazing tools that we now have access to as podcasters. And whether you are a podcaster or not, it's very important to pay attention to some of the trends and some of the things that we are seeing here. And today I'm really excited because I have a friend on, Jason, who is the founder of Supercast. And Supercast is one of those brand new, not platforms, because podcasting is a platform, but this is something that you add on top of your podcast to help you make more money. In fact, to give you a little bit of insight, this is a way for you to create a membership-like opportunity with your show, a paid RSS feed or a paid subscription model for a podcast. And you'll hear the ins and outs of this story, the startup, how this person, Jason, has taken hold of these opportunities within the podcasting space to serve a big problem. Monetization is much harder on a podcast versus something like YouTube, where you can make money through Google AdSense and the advertisements that you see there. Brand deals, sponsorships, yes, that's available on podcasts too. But now we finally have something that can allow us to build on top of this amazing platform and the relationships that we build. And whether you choose to have a premium podcast on top of your free one or just a paid one in and of itself, similar to various tools like Substack, which is a paid email subscription tool. Yes, you can actually get paid to have people join your email list, and people do make a lot of money doing that. Now we can do this with our podcast using Supercast. So pay attention. We got a lot of stuff to talk with Jason about today. But first, let's cue the intro.
Welcome to the Smart Passive Income Podcast, where it's all about working hard now so you can sit back and reap the benefits later. And now your host, if he was at Hogwarts, he'd be in House Slytherin, Pat Flynn.
Hey, and real quick, our sponsor today is Uplift Desk, creators of office furniture designed to help you work better and live healthier. If you haven't tried a sit/stand desk before, this offer from Uplift is the perfect opportunity. Plus, you can support the show at the same time. Visit UpliftDesk.com/SPI for 5% off your order. A desk should fit the user, right? Which is exactly why Uplift Desk has a ton of customization options. They're stable, the materials are solid. I mean, just the choices of material alone are incredible, all the way from laminate to eco to bamboo and even solid wood. The option to stand while working is just healthier, better circulation, better movement, which helps to reduce all kinds of different health risks and repetitive strains. And over 1 million customers have chosen Uplift Desk for their innovative designs, direct to consumer pricing, same day shipping. They can even give you free accessories with every desk. Uplift is a great deal, and they're built to last and include an industry-leading 15-year warranty, free shipping, free return shipping if you need to do that as well. So go to UpliftDesk.com/SPI for 5% off your order. That's UpliftDesk.com/SPI to get 5% off your entire order. What's up, y'all? Welcome to session 443 of the Smart Passive Income Podcast. My name is Pat Flynn, here to help you make more money, save more time, and help more people too. And like I said, today we're talking with Jason from Supercast.com. In fact, if you wanted to check out the affiliate link for that, or maybe you might want to wait till the end to do that, that's going to be smartpassiveincome.com/Supercast. And there's a fun little contest going on right now where you can actually win a lunch with me if you get in on time. If not, you can still check out Supercast, obviously. But anyway, let's just get to the conversation with Jason and learn more about this program and how it all works and how we might be able to best use this in a way that makes sense. Here we go. Jason, welcome to the Smart Passive Income Podcast. Thanks so much for being here today.
Awesome to be here, Pat. Really excited to chat.
I can't wait to talk podcasting, the future of podcasting, podcast monetization in a very unique way, and all about Supercast in just a moment. But I'd love to get a little bit more background on you and your story. When did entrepreneurship and startups become a thing for you?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'm going to have to wind back the clock a little bit here.
How far?
I think at university, I've grown up around computers. My older brother used to, sell computers way back in the day, when he was, in his 20s or so. He was really early on, and I'm talking about the days where it was still 5 1/4 inch floppy disk drives, and that was kind of like the latest thing, but before hard drives even were a thing. And so I remember, just playing computer games as a kid, everything from, Test Drive to Mongo Bongo, just the really old school Sierra games. And through that path, when I got to university, computer science seemed a really natural fit for me to go down. And I just found it really fun. And I was also pretty good at it. And so I ended up landing a job at a company called Unisys, which is a global multinational. And the reason why, I guess I touched upon this, regarding to your question about entrepreneurship is I was offered a choice straight off the bat, when I started joining Unisys. Do you want to go down the technical path or do you want to go down the more kind of business path? Mm. And even though I'd studied computer science and could write software and write code, I decided to go down the business path because I always saw myself as someone who was curious about entrepreneurship. I always wanted to, be more than just a, kind of a person who's put into a box and said, hey, that's your role, when it comes to software development or anything else. And I liked having my fingers in lots of pies. So I went down that path that led to a career in sales and IT. And then, I moved to a smaller agency and then I moved to Australia. I'm originally from New Zealand. And when I moved to Australia, I found a company called 99 Designs. And I was just in the right place, right time, quite frankly. Joined 99 Designs as fifth employee. So it was just a couple of developers and a designer prior to that, and as well as the founder, Mark Harbottle, who's very much a serial entrepreneur. And that was really my foray into, startups and entrepreneurship on the internet, because I was able to, grow alongside that marketplace. So for those that don't know, 99 Designs is a global community of designers and a global creative platform where, you can go and get anything from a logo to a t-shirt to a website to, even a car wrap or a tattoo designed on 99 Designs. And what we do really well is match you to the right designers for the task from the, 1.5 million designers that we have spread across the world. So I was with 99 Designs for 10 years. And so that was all about, how do we make a great design experience on the internet for both customers who need something designed, much like, a lot of the entrepreneurs that are, listening on this show, through to also servicing the designers and helping them create a business and an income from their passion, which in that case was design. They had a lot of design skills, they wanted to earn some extra money. Maybe work had dried up in their local area. That was basically, the the role that we played for the huge design community that we had on 99 Designs. And then an opportunity came up to join Supercast. I got talking to Tiny, Andrew Wilkinson, who is the founder of Tiny, that owns a portfolio of around 20 internet businesses, as well as Aidan Hornsby, who's a co-founder of Supercast. And it was in the world of podcasting. And as I dived into it, I was already curious about podcasting because I'd listened to Tim Ferriss. I'd listened to him, and he changed my life through my ears. I'd changed my diet. I changed some of my workout schedules. I'd changed the way I think about, outsourcing some of the things that I didn't need to hold on to and didn't quite get my work week down to 4 hours, but it had an immense impact on my life. And so when I evaluated Supercast and being able to jump on board with this early stage startup, do it all over again, just like 99 Designs, but serving a different creator, obviously podcasters, and helping them earn, an income and build up a sustainable business and, more a passive way that's linked to building an audience, I just couldn't resist. So yeah, I had to jump in and do it all over again.
That's really cool. Thank you for that rundown on sort of your path. I'd love to go back a little bit to your schooling and having learned a lot of the technical aspects of computer science and those sorts of things, engineering and whatnot. And then having this choice to go the business route is really interesting. And I'd love for you to perhaps speak to a little bit about, because, a lot of people who listen to the show, they're at a 9-to-5, they are very technical, they do know those things. But when it comes to business and entrepreneurship and sales, especially, it's a whole different world. And what was the biggest lesson you've learned and the takeaway that you had when you transitioned into that part of your life away from, or perhaps, less focus on the technical stuff and more on the sales? What one or two lessons were really huge for you in helping you really enjoy that, but also get good at it too?
That's a really great question. I am actually really fond of sales. I guess for people that have worked in an agency context or a services business, sometimes they can feel like, you get caught up in meeting the demands of clients and you don't really feel like you are building something ongoing. You don't feel like you're getting behind a product or a collection of products or something that, you can kind of like really get attached to and service the same bunch of people and build on over time. At least, that's the position that I found myself in when I was in an agency sales role. And when I moved over to Australia, I promised myself, I said, okay, no more services business. I said, I really want to get into a product business. I want to get behind a particular product and maybe sell that instead, or maybe, get into more the development side of things. But what I realized over time and having found a product business is actually the skills that you learn in the business world and in the agency world, they're just as valuable in the product business or whatever kind of entrepreneurship role you find yourself in, and particularly sales. In my context, I have given a talk on this, and I've always just found that you're always selling. It doesn't matter whether you are pitching early employees on joining a startup, on whether you are pitching to early customers to try to validate your solution, maybe convincing, family and friends to kick in a little money and, support you with getting a new business off the ground, or even, going and convincing, banks, for example, to support you. There's just no shortage of opportunities for you for sales skills to really help you in your goal. And so, yeah, I would say those skills that, you're working on now and maybe feeling like they're not being put to the best use, don't worry about that. As you take your steps into entrepreneurship, those will absolutely find a home. And, for sales in particular, you never stop using it. It comes to a point where as your organization grows, you then start to have to be selling to your teams about, why it is that they should build this particular feature. Because if you can't convince your team to get excited around going down a new particular path or fulfilling an annual vision or a quarterly vision, then that's when, your entire organization starts to be less effective than it could be as well. So, yeah, I look fondly back upon those days and I think they've served me really well.
part of what's helped me as well with sales, which is something I was not good at either. I was the person at the desk drafting up blueprints and whatnot on AutoCAD and having to become then an entrepreneur, almost forced to be an entrepreneur after getting laid off. I eventually learned that failing is a part of the process. Getting, you know, through 99 no's to get to that one yes is selling, and learning and iterating as you go, understanding what helps people understand what it is that you're sharing and presenting. And as you were sort of learning these business skills and becoming and developing your skills and talents as a salesperson, what were some of the big failures that you might remember from the early days, whether that's in your agency role or as you started to join these startup companies like 99 Designs? By the way, love 99 Designs. We've worked with them before. Caleb and I, who's my videographer and in our business, SwitchPod. In fact, our logo for the SwitchPod came from 99 Designs.
Amazing.
Particular designer that we found there who we worked with individually, because you can do contests there as well, but you can work with individual graphic designers there too. And that's been huge because that's now a product that's sold over, you know, 12,000 over the world and over $1 million in sales. It's awesome. So big thanks to 99 Designs. And I didn't know that you were number five there. That's pretty amazing. But going back to your question, in your career, what were the big failures that you remember that almost made you even stronger?
Yeah. So maybe before I get to that, because you just touched on something that I think is really important.
Oh, please, yeah.
With the question around sales, and you know, your particular context where, you know, you were in architecture school, I guess, you know, when you created your first product, because you realized that, you know, there must be other people out there that were struggling with the same exam. I think the best form of sales, you know, often you can think about, you know, hey, I need to find a salesperson, or I'm not good at sales, I need to go and, you know, find someone else that can help me with that. I think often the best form of sales is actually from the subject matter expert directly. It's not from somebody whose core skill is necessarily selling, and, you know, they're just really good at pounding out the emails or picking up the phone and, you know, dialing one number after another. Mm-hmm. I think there's the message and the way you carry yourself when you're the subject matter expert is markedly different, that just can't help but come across when you're talking to customers and prospective customers. So I think in your case, the fact that you had just, you know, studied this architecture exam and were in that moment, and you were absolutely in the headspace of the customer that might be searching for your product, I think that carries, you know, a lot of weight that people might discount. So I think if you're a technical, you know, specialist listening, and you know, you've always wondered, you know, hey, you know, I'm not really that comfortable with sales, you know, I would also encourage them just to give it a try, because it really, you don't have to try hard for it to be authentic. And a lot of what matters in sales is actually being that authentic person and that authentic advisor that your customer can really count on.
Thank you for that. That's I love that. Thank you. And then if you could speak to a couple sort of lessons you've learned over time, I'd love to then transition after that into some Supercast and podcast stuff, which is sort of why we're here. But I'd love to know a little bit more, because I know a lot of the audience is in the same position and starting their career in their own business or another startup, and would love to kind of fast forward through some of the hardships.
Yeah. So I think, you know, one big one is always to start with the customer, and always to start with the customer experience and the customer's view of the world and the specific problem that you're trying to solve for them. I don't think there's ever a time where you can focus too much on the customer, but, you know, particularly when it comes to putting a new product out to the market, or, you know, seeing if you've got something that, you know, you can make money on. You know, it's all too easy to fall into the trap of, hey, what's the technical solution I need to bring together? You know, who are the right people to be working on this? You know, okay, if I grab, you know, these five engineers and this designer and this product manager, and we go, you know, jump into a cave for you know, 2 years, then we'll come out with the perfect solution. I think, you know, the world of entrepreneurship and startup has just moved, you know, a long way beyond that. And really, there are just so many great tools and some great, you know, ways to get started these days, whether it be, you know, the likes of Google Forms or Typeform, or, you know, using something like Wix to put up the first version of your site, using something like Teachable to put up a video course, you know, obviously Supercast, you know, to put up a paid podcast. You know, all of these tools just make it a lot easier to get something up today. Or tomorrow, and I think that the closer you are to actually getting customer feedback and putting a little chat bubble on the screen so that you can hear directly from customers when they get stuck. That is one of the big, you know, lessons that I've learned over time, because there's certainly been lots of cases at 99designs. And, you know, I'm just thinking about 99designs because that was a big part of my early days, where we overinvested in certain things. And, you know, we might have spent even, you know, a couple of months building out new features, which just fell flat when they launched because we didn't take the time to really make sure that customers wanted that and it served a big enough problem that, you know, they were going to be excited about using it when it came out.
That makes sense. Yeah. Focusing on the customer is huge. I mean, I teach that and it's something that will unlock so many new directions for you and a lot of empathy for who it is that you're serving as well. And like you said, stop you from perhaps going down a path that you think is the right path to go on, but isn't really where you should be going. So I'd love for you to speak on that related to Supercast, like how and who were you listening to and what were the problems that you were solving with regards to this brand new company and Supercast and what it offers. Tell us a little bit about what it is and then sort of the origin story behind it as well.
Happy to. So Supercast makes it easy to add a paid membership to your podcast in a nutshell. And so, you know, a lot of podcasters that are listening, maybe you've already built up an existing audience that, you know, is in a particular niche and you're publishing that podcast on a regular basis, whether it be through Libsyn or Anchor or any one of the podcast hosts that help you distribute, you know, your audio and then get into your listeners' ears. What we do is we actually bring on a private feed technology and a private feed platform through Supercast, which allows you to easily convert a small percentage of your audience into paying members. So what we generally see is anywhere from 2-7% of, you know, all of the average downloads per episode that you might get might pay you just, you know, a little bit of money per month to get some more insight from you, more content from you, and you know, just to really step inside your mind, you know, as somebody that is again a subject matter expert on the topic that you're podcasting about, and get a little bit deeper connection with you as well. You know, one of the beautiful things about podcasting is it's a very intimate medium, and through listening to someone repeatedly, you know, you really get that connection with them and feel like it's somebody that you know very well on an everyday basis. And a paid membership allows you to take that even further with a small group of your audience who wants that. So the way we got started with Supercast was actually, you know, going back to the minimum viable product story or you know, kind of building things the simplest way possible. It was actually not to build a platform right from the outset. It was actually helping big podcasters from the likes of Sam Harris, Peter Attia, and Rhonda Patrick. It was thinking through solutions for them about how they could build a paid membership that led us to the Supercast opportunity. They obviously have, you know, highly engaged audiences. Advertising wasn't, you know, necessarily a natural fit for them. And they thought that they could offer more value to, you know, their true fans, their 1,000 true fans, by creating this premium membership model where they're giving more access to themselves and more content in exchange for that monthly fee. And so when we switched on, you know, solutions for those podcasters, we're just stunned by how big a business they could build, you know, sometimes into the millions of dollars from, you know, a really highly engaged audience who, you know, just really wanted to get in a little bit extra. And so it was at that point where the penny dropped for us. And we thought, wow, how many podcasters are out there sitting on, you know, a gold mine and just don't yet realize it yet. And so that's why we built Supercast out as a platform that the whole podcasting world can leverage and take advantage of.
You know, it's interesting because it sort of similarly reminds me of a service called Substack for email.
Absolutely. Right?
Email marketing, you sign up, you subscribe, you get the emails. Well, with Substack, you can actually charge to have people subscribe. And that caused a little bit of a stir because, you know, hey, emails are supposed to be free and that sort of thing. But there's a lot of people who have highly technical knowledge or some special access, and people are willing to pay to get access to that. And then on the podcasting side, I mean, my question for you is, and this is a response I know people are going to have to this, is I thought podcasting was supposed to be a free thing. Now we're putting it behind a paywall where this isn't podcasting anymore, is it? How do you respond to those who are, just because we've been so conditioned to see podcasts be something for free? I mean, there's no way we could charge for this unless we are comfortable with this. And how do we get comfortable with this idea?
Great question. So I think the way Substack is set up, and also the way Supercast is set up, is very much the freemium model. And, you know, it's a little bit of a jargony term from the software world. But if you think about a lot of the software that you use these days, whether it's QuickBooks or Xero, you know, other kinds of accounting software, through to, you know, a website builder like Squarespace or Wix or Weebly or something like that, often, you know, your first experience is free. You know, you get a chance to get in there and get a taste of it, play around with it, and maybe get a limited feature set. But at a certain point, you know, if you use that product on an ongoing basis and you get value from it, and then often, you know, you will pull out your credit card and pay to get that better experience. The freemium model also lends itself to, I think, you know, newsletter writing in the case of Substack, or podcasting in the case of Supercast. So the free part is, of course, the podcast you're already doing. And so we certainly would never recommend that somebody that is already producing a podcast and giving that content away for free goes and puts that behind the paywall completely and loses, you know, all of their sources of incoming traffic from iTunes and wherever else. And, you know, moreover, those customers that they were serving, the listeners, were used to getting that for free. So, you know, it's just not going to fly to all of a sudden wake up the next day and find out that you have to pay for something that you're used to getting for free. So instead, the way we encourage people to think about it is, everyone is loving your content for free. Keep doing that. But there is a certain portion of your true fans that really engage with, you know, your story and the value that you have to offer them. And they will, you know, and this is where the 2-7% comes in. They will be happy, from our experience, to pay you anywhere from $5 to $15 per month to get more access to you and more content from you. So it's things that you're adding on top, as opposed to anything that you're segmenting and pulling away from them to put behind the paywall. And then so in terms of like what you can offer, this is where I guess we differ from something like Patreon, where, you know, a lot of Patreons are set up really just as a support, a way to support a creator for something mm-hmm. that they're already doing. Supercast One is developed specifically for podcasters. So we can reduce like a 10-step sign-up process in Patreon down to 5 steps in Supercast. So, you know, just to step through a little bit, you know, as an abstract, rather than, you know, clicking a link in the show notes, choosing a plan on Patreon, signing up for Patreon, entering your credit card, landing on a member page, finding an RSS link, copying it into Apple Podcasts, if that's your player. You have to find, you know, kind of an ad show by URL link, and then pasting in the RSS link. You know, that's the kind of the 10 steps that you would have to go through with something like a Patreon. With Supercast, what we're focused on is, you know, just a really seamless, simple experience for your listeners. So if they hear you talk about your premium offering and the fact that it offers, you know, additional content and maybe AMAs, maybe an ad-free feed in your actual podcast episode, then you direct them to click a link in the show notes. That link takes them to your plan or your plans on a Supercast landing page. You can pay with Apple Pay, Google Pay in one step. You know, you don't even require a password. And then once you've paid, you just simply tap the podcast player of your choice. So again, Apple Podcasts, if you already use that, and it automatically opens up and auto-populates the RSS feed with one more tap, so that the premium version of your podcast is loaded right into the player where they listen to podcasts every day.
That's really cool. So it's definitely a lot simpler. I have a ton of questions that I know my audience is going to be curious about. And the first one that I have is specifically to, this is a struggle when a lot of people start charging for things just in general, right? They've been giving away a lot of free information, building this audience, and then they charge for a course or they charge for something else. And now we're charging for something that's, you know, people are used to getting for free, but it's separate, right? So I love that you sort of delineated that. No, we're not putting what was once free behind the paywall. We're just adding something for those who want to go deeper or who would love to support us. And I love that. That's definitely a Patreon-like thing, but then potentially even more valuable with the podcast being the center of it all.
Actually, and just to go back to that point, Pat, sorry to interrupt. I think the internet and websites are actually kind of a great analogy here in terms of where we are in the cycle of monetizing and charging for podcasts, you know, being something that people are comfortable with. You know, if you think about the early days of the internet, how do people monetize websites? Yeah. It was just all of those cheesy banner ads, right? You know, like, and AdSense came along and, you know, that just kind of made that whole thing explode. But if you think about contrasting those early days where that was the only way to make a little bit of money, you know, a couple of cents a click at a time, through to the internet today, there's just so many different ways you can monetize your web presence, whether that be, you know, a membership site on the internet that's, you know, tried and true. It could be creating a teachable course, a video course, an audio course. You know, there's just the proliferation of so many different ways. And obviously selling things, e-commerce has exploded. Mm-hmm. I think what we'll see the same thing in podcasting and in audio more generally, where yes, advertising was first, you know, there because we know how to do ads and, you know, there's plenty of companies out there that are willing to pay for attention. But I think there are much more kind of many more levers that we can create as well that, you know, perhaps are even more directly aligned with what the audience that you're serving is looking for. So rather than, you know, kind of throwing mattress ads at them, you know, for when they're not necessarily shopping for a mattress, if they're listening to your podcast and they're loving your podcast and creating a premium membership allows you to serve them better, then ultimately we think that that's going to help you create a better show overall.
I mean, even when we bring the math into it, you had mentioned 1,000 true fans, if they each pay you $5 a month for this additional content, additional access, et cetera, and make it easy for them to do that. I mean, that's an additional 5,000 a month or 60,000 a year that's coming in as a result of that, which is really amazing to think about, especially when it allows for even a cooler experience for those who are already fans who have probably been looking for different kinds of ways to support you. However, where I was going before is, and I know this will be a struggle, is like, okay, if we open up this new feed that is new content for our audience, how do we best know what goes on the free feed and what goes on the paid feed? This starts to become a big internal struggle for a lot of people, and it almost makes them either feel bad about putting something behind the paywall or within the paid feed versus giving it away for free, or feeling bad for the people who had paid, who see that, okay, there's now information that's good going into the free spot. How do you help us manage that internal battle of what's free versus what's paid?
Great question. What a lot of podcasters do is they really reserve, you know, some of the things that give you deeper connection for the private feed. So a lot of the interviews that they do with guests, if it's a, you know, guest oriented show, they will still continue to put out onto the public feed just as they do today. And from time to time, if a really big guest comes on, that's, you know, kind of an opportunity maybe to reserve that episode for the private feed. And what you can do is, you know, and it's up to you, different podcasters have a different take on this. But you can also, for example, take that one special episode and put a teaser of that onto your public feed. And how much of that you give away is really up to you. You know, like Sam Harris, for example, you know, like he you know, cuts off episodes, you know, a lot of episodes, you know, and you know, kind of really strongly encourages people to go over to the private feed. Other people, you know, like tease, you know, just a couple of minutes of an episode, whereas others can give away, you know, 90% of the episode, and then it's just kind of the last maybe 5 or 10 minutes that they put onto the private feed, where they might ask a few specific questions about, you know, how, you know, the key learnings in life that particular person has learned, and, you know, kind of boil, you know, their secret sauce and what they think makes them successful, mm-hmm. You know, down to a few key pieces of information that they could put onto the private feed. So, you know, that's kind of one way to think about it is, you know, special episodes and how you, you know, kind of tease that and use that as a way to encourage people to pay for your private feed. Another way to think about it is access to you. And being able to engage with you is actually, you know, a really valuable thing that, you know, a lot of your audience would probably, you know, pay money for. Especially, you know, the more subject matter expertise you have, you know, the more valuable that is, of course. And so something that we very commonly see is monthly or quarterly AMAs where audience members get the opportunity to ask you questions, and then you'll record an episode, you know, once a month, once a quarter, where you actually answer the top questions and then deliver it back to those private members as a private episode on the private feed. So that's, you know, an example of something where, you know, it definitely is going above and beyond what you might be doing on your regular show. And therefore, you know, it justifies you being able to position that as something that only premium members can access. And actually that one particular thing we're seeing in such regularity that we've actually built out an AMA platform into Supercast where people that subscribe on Supercast can actually ask you questions via the AMA portal that they get access to.
With their voice or text?
Just with text at this stage. But what you can do is you can also search over previous questions that have been answered. So it builds up, you know, kind of this big repository over time.
Ooh, that's cool.
And then as you, you know, once a month, you can look over, hey, what are the top questions? They can be upvoted by other listeners. And then you record it with your voice, upload one episode to Supercast, and then you can time code where those answers actually appear. So when the listener gets notified that, you know, question 7 has been answered, they simply, you know, hit play and their answer starts playing, you know, right from the time code of that episode. So, yeah, we're thinking more and more about how to make it easy for podcasters to actually create some of this value through things like AMAs as well.
That's really neat. I've seen a couple other use cases for privatized feeds and having people pay for them. I know a couple podcasters who, for example, at the end of their interviews, they will keep the person who they're interviewing on for another 15 minutes sort of after the regular episode has wrapped up to do some bonus content, which might be a little bit more lighthearted or even potentially more serious or what have you. But there becomes this sort of rhythm of, you know, hey, there's this sort of insider's circle that you kind of have to pay to get access to after the regular episode where you can get an additional 15 minutes of time with myself and the person who we're interviewing. And that's a pretty cool use case. I know also we've discussed potentially, you know, offering a private feed for certain memberships that we already have. Is that a particular use case that Supercast can support with? For example, you have a membership community, you want a podcast, but not a public one, but a private one that only those members who perhaps are, you know, elsewhere can find.
Absolutely. We've seen people make use of private feeds in a lot of different ways. You know, it's one of those mediums where, you know, like when you get into it, it just serves all kinds of different use cases. So just to give a couple of examples. So we, you know, we have Electrician Success Academy who have a really great teachable video course, actually. And they help electricians level up their business and maybe go from being, you know, a single electrician who's struggling to kind of like keep everything in order and manage, you know, a business as well as, you know, getting to appointments on time through to, you know, just really having an electrician business with, you know, multiple staff members on autopilot. They've had this teachable course for years, but the first video in the course is actually go and sign up for this private feed on Supercast. Because, you know, and you can imagine the use case, electricians are driving around all day, you know, from you know, one house to another, and they can't always be, you know, watching video. And so the audio mechanism allows them to, you know, serve kind of more use cases and get more learning time than would otherwise be possible.
So is that the audio of the course essentially that they're listening to instead? And it just so happens to be delivered through a unique Supercast podcast feed? Is that how it worked?
It's actually something on top of that.
On top of it. Okay. Well, either one would actually be pretty useful. Maybe there's two feeds in there. This is a value add play, right? Supercast is an additional value that's added to the course, or do those members of the course who see those videos, if they want to get access, they have to pay additional.
No, it's all bundled in. And I think because it's a monthly subscription model, it's actually genius. Because video, you know, once you've watched all the videos, you know, often you're done. And you know, it'll either be a one-off charge or maybe you stop subscribing at that point. Whereas getting somebody to go through that course, but then also overlaying that with an ongoing podcast means that that person continues to receive value over the long term. And also, you know, sticks around and continues to be, you know, a long-term subscriber. You know, I think it's one of those things where you can just build in a habit on top of, you know, just taking a course as a one-off.
That's really cool. That's actually really smart. And so in Supercast, I could come in, set up a feed and not charge a thing. It's essentially free, but it's private. And this is how you would set this up, right? So that you can just offer that information or either have people sign up or technically find the feed from there, from within. And there's no paywall because it's a free thing, but it's still private, right?
That's right. So we can integrate it a number of different ways. So for a lot of people who, you know, they just have a podcast and they may or may not have a website, you know, if they're starting, you know, really with their first steps into monetization, then we can provide the landing page where they can, you know, just through the with a couple of clicks, they can put together their first plan, describe what they want on that plan, decide on a price. We take care of all of the payment and, you know, getting those feeds in a really slick way into listeners' podcast players. That's, you know, one use case. In the situation where people already have a membership site, maybe they've already have a Teachable course, and they're already accepting payment somewhere else, we can hook into that so that, you know, and this is via integrations through a platform called Zapier or even direct integrations. We can hook into that so that you take care of collecting payment somewhere else. And you can charge whatever you want, obviously, for your membership offering. And then in the back end, when you tell us there's a new member, we'll just use the APIs to allow Supercast to come back and say, okay, you've got a new member. Here's their individualized RSS feed that you can have them load into their podcast player.
Oh, an individualized RSS feed, meaning that's unique to them and they can't really share it with anybody else. So there's some protection there.
Absolutely. And so this is something that we did from day one and, you know, felt was very important in terms of like setting up the future of what this offering could be. And so, yeah, at a first glance, you know, analytics is something that is a huge benefit of this. You know, we can tell for each individual lister, you know, how often they're engaging with content and what content they're engaging with, which obviously is something that you don't get from your public podcasting. And then secondly, you know, in terms of feed privacy, it means that somebody can't take their feed and share it on Reddit without, you know, and get away with it. You know, if you only had one private podcast feed, which some podcast hosts also offer, if that happened, you're kind of stuck. You know, it's already getting, you know, pirated, and you also can't change the feed because everybody else who's legitimate relies on that feed to access your content. But in the Supercast world, if somebody, if we detect and we have algorithms that are monitoring and looking out for things like, hey, this feed was used in 10 different cities on the same day. That doesn't look right. And what we do is we let the podcaster either get in touch with that person or just suspend that feed immediately. And that doesn't affect anybody else that's listening on a legitimate basis.
Now, okay, so this is getting me excited because there's so many use cases. In addition to bonus content that people can pay for and a fan would love to support you with, as opposed to just like a tip jar, you're actually offering something of value and can get paid back in return even on a monthly recurring situation. Now this sort of privatized feed that you can control in top of other things that you're doing, for example, with SPI Pro, our membership, you know, we are on the team discussing a SPI Pro private feed for people who are part of this membership, sort of like as another value add and a reason for people to continue to stay in. And it'll be sort of additional access to the team and some things that we aren't really sharing elsewhere. And specifically for things that are sort of above those who are just literally starting from scratch in their business. So this would be a perfect place to put it in a great way to keep people in the membership, a great additional access to the team and to have that sort of be a part of it and have every member get sort of an individual fee that they get when they subscribe is huge. I'm imagining also if you have an online course, having a feed that's maybe just the audio of your course and just another value add that you can add on top of the videos that you have. Hey, if you are out and about all the time, you can actually subscribe to the podcast, and inside the feed already is all the course material. So you can actually listen your way through and get through the course even faster. And then maybe there's some, of course, other things that you can add on top of that as well. There's just so many cool opportunities I'm thinking of related to how this can be used in that way. That's got me really excited, Jason. Thank you for that and for those ideas.
Yeah. And I think it's just the start when it comes to, you know, what we can do with individual feeds. You know, I think it just changes the dynamic of the connection that you can have with your audience when you can actually get into a group of people's ears or one person's specific ear. You know, if you were also an events-based business where, you know, you did live events, you know, obviously, you know, now is not a time where a lot of those are going on, but you know, if you were making a trip out to New York and you wanted to reach all of the listeners in New York, you know, that's something that is, you know, possible when you know kind of the,
wow,
the you know, where people are and how to reach them. If you wanted to do something like, you know, we talked about feed fraud, for example, but there's other times you might want to reach people like their credit card expired or it's their birthday or it's their anniversary. Imagine being able to drop an episode into one person's feed just to let them know that, you know, you appreciate them and to help them, you know, celebrate their anniversary or
what? Oh my gosh, that's huge. Dude, wow. Okay, I mean, even like, again, I'm thinking about SPA Pro because it's on the top of my mind right now, but like if there was some way to integrate, some way to know whether or not, you know, they've been in for, you know, a month, it's their month anniversary after subscribing, then we can pop in some episode or some special audio that says, hey, it looks like you've been a member of SPA Pro for a month. Just want to say thank you from the entire team. And I can have the whole team sort of say something nice. And that is, yes, scalable because we're sharing it with everybody, but it goes out in those specific moments. That's really interesting. Jeez. Okay. Sorry. My head's just kind of spinning.
No worries. Yeah, I'm excited because I, you know, through previous conversations with you, I know that you do get excited about, you know, these personal touches. And so that's, you know, that's just something that, you know, we, you know, are continuing to think through and, you know, just come up with, you know, we want to come up with all of the cool things that we can do to not only deliver this stuff in a private way, but add all of these additional layers on top to really enrich the medium.
I mean, I'm imagining a YouTuber who maybe has a lot of influence. They are a you know, a vlogger, and they have this really deep connection with their audience on YouTube in a more public arena. Imagine if that YouTuber were to then say, hey, guys, by the way, I'm doing a daily private podcast with this. It's just going to be my thoughts. When I wake up in the morning, I'm going to record just how I'm going to be approaching my day for 30 minutes. You're not going to get it anywhere else except on this podcast feed. And so come here and subscribe and get access to that. And you know, what if I did that? Like I had a Pat's, you know, Daily Diary podcast where, you know, you'd pay $5 to support, but every morning I would just share sort of like a diary, or maybe it's the end of the day and just talking about and being very honest and vulnerable and open with people who, you know, who would subscribe to that? The super fans who would want to hear those kinds of things anyway. And, you know, it's not for everybody, but it would be something I think people would enjoy. Not saying I'm going to do that. I'm just kind of sharing this out loud, but man.
No, I love that. You know, for some reason, I remember that story that you shared of, I think it was right before FlynnCon, where you were, you know, like up late at night and you were getting a glass of milk from the fridge or whatever, and you just dropped it on the ground and you had
and I started
down.
Like crying. Yeah. And like, what are you doing?
Maybe that, you know, if you'd had this private podcast, you could have grabbed the mic and just kind of let it all out.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, wow, there's some really cool use cases here. But Jason, thank you for this. And then finally, like, can you just go over technically a person signs up or gets access to this feed? Like, I'm trying to still imagine how this gets into our favorite podcast app, right? It's hard to tell people to go, hey, I know you listen on Apple Podcasts, but you got to now listen here instead. That's a big barrier, I would imagine. I know you solved this problem. So can you explain how that works?
Sure. So the philosophically, we don't want people to have to do anything different. It's not a special app. You know, there's no special apps to download. And if somebody is using Apple Podcasts and that's where they, you know, listen to all of their other podcasts, then actually we want them to listen to the premium version of your podcast in Apple Podcasts as well.
That's possible.
Yeah, that's absolutely the flow that we have created. So they, just to step through that again, they, if they're listening to your show and they hear a call out to go and subscribe to, you know, SPLA Premium, let's say, and they, you know, you direct them to go and click a link in the show notes, they can then click that link. They'll go to a landing page, choose their plan. They'll pay with Apple Pay or Google Pay. And then on the next page, it'll say, add the premium podcast to your podcast player. And it'll have an icon for all of the popular podcast players that support private feeds. So Apple Podcasts is absolutely there. You know, Castro, Pocket Casts, you know, there'll be an icon for each one of those. And all I have to do is tap that icon. It'll automatically open up on your phone Apple Podcasts, and it'll bring up automatically the little box that says add a podcast, and it'll have the private feed that's unique to you automatically populated. So it's really two taps. You pay once, you tap once to pay, you tap once to select your podcast player, and then tap one more time to subscribe. And then from there on out, Supercast is invisible. Every day you're just loading up Apple Podcasts. And often what our podcasters do is they create a premium version of their podcast artwork so that you can differentiate between the public and the private feeds.
But it's not going to be in Apple Podcasts directory.
Exactly. It's not in the directory. So there's no risk of, you know, people that aren't paying seeing that, because you've added it specifically by the private feed URL that we've given you and auto-populated into Apple Podcasts.
Nice. That makes sense. I think if I were to do that, I would create a public feed with the same artwork or the pro version, and just have one episode that says, hey, you found this by mistake. It's actually over here. You could pay to get access to the pro version or something. That way, because I know people are going to probably look it up. And anyway, I'm just thinking out loud, but that's so cool that you saw that problem, because I know that was a big question that a lot of people might have. And that was the first question I had. It's like, I don't want to change where I, you know, am I going to have to go somewhere else or listen to this private feed elsewhere? Is it just website based? No, it's in your app that you already listen to, which is super cool. So hopefully, audience, you've got your gears turning and have thought about different ways that you've been able to utilize a tool like this. And Jason, where should people go to check it out, get access to it, et cetera?
Yeah, so you can find us at supercast.com. And that's where you can find a lot of information on obviously how it works, a little bit of a video of that experience that we just talked through. And we've got actually a pretty in-depth membership guide on there as well. You can find it up in the navigation there, where there's seven chapters of, you know, how you think about putting together a paid membership, everything from, you know, planning it, you know, testing it with your audience, pricing it, working out, you know, what you should put in terms of like those premium features, through to launching it and then continuing to grow it on an ongoing basis. So if you know, kind of need to read through it more and more detail to get comfortable and just want to see some use cases, that's there. We've got a customer case study section where, you know, you can get a little bit more of that as well. And yeah, while you're on the website, you'll probably see a banner at the top to that, you know, Supercast has a paid to podcast competition where we're giving away over $100,000 to the podcasters who can build the biggest membership over the second half of 2020. So this just launched actually at the beginning of July. And we, put up a lot of cash and a lot of prizes from an industry collective of, great podcasting companies. The likes of Descript for editing, Captivate, you know, for podcast hosting, Double Up, you know, for marketing consulting. And, you know, what really got us excited was this guy named Pat Flynn very generously offered to also sit down for lunch with the grand prize winner. So we're super excited to be able to fly that grand prize winner and provide return travel as well as accommodation to go and meet you, Pat.
Yeah, I'm excited.
When this whole thing wraps up at the end of the year.
Yeah, and when it's safe to do so, obviously. Yeah, Jason, dude, thank you so much. Supercast.com. And just thank you so much for just giving us this opportunity to potentially monetize in a really amazing way. I think it could be a perfect solution for a lot of us who've been struggling for different kinds of ways to monetize and just haven't really hit the nail on the head yet. So anyway, thank you, Jason. Appreciate you. Looking forward to seeing who wins the contest. And for everybody out there, supercast.com is where you want to go. And yeah, appreciate your time.
Awesome. Very grateful to be on the show, Pat.
Thanks, Jason. Thanks so much. All right. I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Jason. Jason, thank you so much for coming on and for delivering value to us today, and also for creating something great for those who are looking and seeking for other monetization opportunities within the podcasting space. You can, of course, check out Jason and Supercast over at smartpassiveincome.com/supercast. That'll take you to the right spot. And you can obviously, like I said earlier, take advantage of that contest that's going on right now, so long as you're listening to this soon after this episode comes out. If not, obviously, still check out Supercast and see how they've evolved. And we're going to get Matt on my team and I are definitely going to get involved with seeing how Supercast might be able to provide more value to you, as well as our students and members in SPI Pro as well. So we'll see what happens, but really excited about this and other monetization opportunities in this space and other spaces too. And we're going to continue to keep you up to date on all these things. So make sure, if you haven't done so already, please hit subscribe, and good luck to you. Appreciate you. Thank you so much. And as always, Team Flynn, for the win. We'll see you in the next episode. Peace out.
Thanks for listening to the Smart Passive Income Podcast at www.smartpassiveincome.com.
Hey, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. And if you're looking for a new podcast to add to your rotation, I highly recommend Problem Solvers, hosted by Jason Pfeiffer, who's been on the show a few times, actually. As you probably heard in the credits, both our shows are on the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. On Problem Solvers, Entrepreneur's editor-in-chief tells the stories of real founders that solved real problems in their businesses, helping listeners get through any obstacles in their own ventures. And each episode is really distinct and easy to follow, and they're bite-sized too, usually around 15 to 20 minutes. And Jason pulls each story out himself so you can avoid the same crippling problems. Matt and I were recently on the show in episode 302, and Jason recently hosted a great episode on whether anyone could be too quote-unquote curious for a traditional career. Listen to Problem Solvers right now on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, or Stitcher.